Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the host, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today is November 10th, the year 2023. You are tuned in to the first portion as we prepare for Juma today. The first portion is the playing of a recording of chapter 18 of the Quran titled Al-Kahf, or in English, the cave. In 25-30 minutes from now, we will begin a kutbah, a Friday sermon. But for the time being, we will play chapter 18 of the Quran, following the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet. So stay tuned, and we will begin the Friday kutbah in about 30 minutes. As-salamu alaykum.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu 'iwaja.
Praise be to Allah, who hath revealed the scripture unto his slave and hath not placed therein any crookedness.
Qayyiman liyunzira ba'san shadeedan min ladun wa yubashshira al-mu'minina alladhina ya'maluna as-salihati anna lahum ajran hasana.
But hath made it straight to give warning of stern punishment from him, and to bring unto the believers who do good works the news that theirs will be a fair reward, wherein they will abide forever, and to warn those who say, Allah hath chosen a son.
كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا.
A thing whereof they have no knowledge, nor had their fathers. Dreadful is the word that cometh out of their mouths. They speak naught but a lie.
فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا.
Yet it may be, if they believe not in this statement, that thou, Muhammad, wilt torment thy soul with grief over their footsteps. Lo, we have placed all that is in the earth as an ornament thereof, that we may try them, which of them is best in conduct.
وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا.
And lo, we shall make all that is therein a barren mound.
أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا.
Or deemest thou that the people of the cave and the inscription are a wonder among our portents?
إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا.
When the young men fled for refuge to the cave and said, Our Lord, give us mercy from thy presence and shape for us right conduct in our plight.
فضربنا على آذانهم في الكهف سنين عددا.
Then we sealed up their hearing in the cave for a number of years.
ثم بعثناهم لنعلم أي الحزبين أحصى لما لبثوا أمدا.
And afterward we raised them up, that we might know which of the two parties would best calculate the time that they had tarried.
نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى.
We narrate unto thee their story with truth. Lo, they were young men who believed in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance.
فربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا.
And we made firm their hearts when they stood forth and said, Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We cry unto no God beside Him, for then should we utter an enormity.
هؤلاء قومنا اتخذوا من دونه آلهة لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا.
These are people have chosen other gods beside him, though they bring no clear warrant vouchsafed to them. And who doth greater wrong than he who inventeth a lie concerning Allah?
وَإِذْ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا.
And when ye withdraw from them and that which they worship except Allah, then seek refuge in the cave. Your Lord will spread for you of His mercy and will prepare for you a pillow in your plight.
وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ ذلك من آيات الله من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا.
And thou mightest have seen the sun when it rose move away from their cave to the right, and when it set go past them on the left, and they were in the cleft thereof. That was one of the portents of Allah. He whom Allah guided, he indeed is led aright, and he whom he sendeth astray, for him thou wilt not find a guiding friend.
وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاضًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ لَوِ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا.
And thou wouldst have deemed them waking, though they were asleep. And we caused them to turn over to the right and the left, and their dog stretching out his paws on the threshold. If thou hadst observed them closely, thou hadst assuredly turned away from them in flight, and hadst been filled with awe of them.
وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فابعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا.
And in like manner we awakened them that they might question one another. A speaker from among them said, How long have ye tarried? They said, We have tarried a day or some part of a day. Others said, Your Lord best knoweth what ye have tarried. Now send one of you with this your silver coin unto the city, and let him see what food is purest there, and bring you a supply thereof. Let him be courteous, and let no man know of you.
إنهم إن يظهروا عليكم يرجموكم أو يعيدوكم في ملتهم ولن تفلحوا إذا أبدا.
For they, if they should come to know of you, will stone you or turn you back to their religion, then ye will never prosper.
وكذلك أعثرنا عليهم ليعلموا أن وعد الله حق وأن الساعة لا ريب فيها إذ يتنازعون بينهم أمرهم فقالوا بنوا عليهم بنيانا ربهم أعلم بهم قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا.
And in like manner we disclosed them to the people of the city that they might know that the promise of Allah is true, and that as for the hour there's no doubt concerning it. When the people of the city disputed of their case among themselves, they said, Build over them a building, their Lord knoweth best concerning them. Those who won their point said, We verily shall build a place of worship over them.
سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم قل ربي أعلم بعدتهم ما يعلمهم إلا قليل فلا تمار فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا ولا تستفت فيهم منهم أحدا.
Some will say they were three, their dog the fourth, and some say five, their dog the sixth, guessing at random, and some say seven, and their dog the eighth. Say, O Muhammad, my Lord is best aware of their number. None knoweth them save a few. So contend not concerning them except with an outward contending, and ask not any of them to pronounce concerning them.
ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا.
And say not of anything, Lo, I shall do that tomorrow, except if Allah will. And remember thy Lord when thou forgettest, and say, It may be that my Lord guideth me unto a nearer way of truth than this. And it is said, They tarried in their cave 300 years and add 9.
قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا لَهُ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ مَا لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا.
Say, Allah is best aware how long they tarried. His is the invisible of the heavens and the earth. How clear of sight is He, and keen of hearing. They have no protecting friend beside Him, and He maketh none to share in His government.
واتل ما أوحي إليك من كتاب ربك لا مبدل لكلماته ولن تجد من دونه ملتحدا.
And recite that which hath been revealed unto thee of the scripture of thy Lord. There is none who can change his words, and thou wilt find no refuge beside him.
واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا.
Restrain thyself along with those who cry unto their Lord at morn and evening, seeking His countenance. And let not thine eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp of the life of the world, and obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, who followeth his own lust, and whose case hath been abandoned.
وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا.
Say, it is the truth from the Lord of you all, then whosoever will, let him believe, and whosoever will, let him disbelieve. Lo, we have prepared for disbelievers fire. Its tent encloseth them. If they ask for showers, they'll be showered with water like the molten lead, which burneth the faces, calamitous the drink, and ill the resting place.
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا.
Lo, as for those who believe and do good works, Lo, we suffer not the reward of one whose work is goodly to be lost.
أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس وإستبرق متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا.
As for such, theirs will be gardens of Eden, wherein rivers flow beneath them. Therein they will be given armlets of gold, and will wear green robes of finest silk and gold embroidery, reclining upon thrones therein. Blessed the reward, and fair the resting place.
وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا رَجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا.
Coined for them a similitude, two men, unto one of whom we had assigned two gardens of grapes, and we had surrounded both with date palms, and had put between them tillage.
كلتا الجنتين آتت أكلها ولم تظلم منه شيئا وفجرنا خلالهما نهرا.
Each of the gardens gave its fruit and withheld naught thereof, and we caused a river to gush forth therein.
وكان له ثمر فقال لصاحبه وهو يحاوره أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا.
And he had fruit, and he said unto his comrade, when he spake with him, I am more than thee in wealth and stronger in respect of men. And he went into his garden while he thus wronged himself. He said, I think not that all this will ever perish.
وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رددت إلى ربي لأجدن خيرا منها منقلبا.
I think not that the hour will ever come, and if indeed I am brought back unto my Lord, I surely shall find better than this as a resort.
قال له صاحبه وهو يحاوره أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا.
And his comrade, when he thus spake with him, exclaimed, Disbelievest thou in him who created thee of dust, then of a drop of seed, and then fashioned thee a man?
لكن هو الله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا.
But he is Allah, my Lord, and I ascribe unto my Lord no partner.
ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله لا قوة إلا بالله إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا.
If only when thou enteredst thy garden thou hadst said, That which Allah willeth will come to pass. There's no strength save in Allah, though thou seest me as less than thee in wealth and children.
فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِ خَيْرًا مِّن جَنَّتِكَ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتُصْبِحَ صَعِيدًا زَلَقًا.
Yet it may be that my Lord will give me better than thy garden, and will send on it a bolt from heaven, and some morning it will be a smooth hillside.
أَوْ يُصْبِحَ مَاؤُهَا غَوْرًا فَلَن تَسْتَطِيعَ لَهُ طَلَبًا.
Or some morning the water thereof will be lost in the earth, so that thou canst not make search for it.
وأحيط بثمره فأصبح يقلب كفيه على ما أنفق فيها وهي خاوية على عروشها ويقول يا ليتني لم أشرك بربي أحدا.
And his fruit was beset with destruction. Then began he to wring his hands for all that he had spent upon it, when now it was all ruined on its trellises, and to say, Would that I had ascribed no partner to my Lord.
ولم تكن له فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان منتصرا.
And he had no troop of men to help him as against Allah, nor could he save himself.
هنالك الولاية لله الحق هو خير ثوابا وخير عقبا.
In this case is protection only from Allah the true. He is best for reward and best for consequence.
وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا فأصبح هشيما تذروه الرياح وكان الله على كل شيء مقتدرا.
And coin for them the similitude of the life of the world as water which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingleth with it, and then becometh dry twigs that the winds scatter. Allah is able to do all things.
المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا.
Wealth and children are an ornament of life of the world, but the good deeds which endure are better in thy Lord's sight for reward and better in respect of hope.
ويوم نسير الجبال وترى الأرض بارزة وحشرناهم فلم نغادر منهم أحدا.
And bethink you of the day when we remove the hills and ye see the earth emerging, and we gather them together so as to leave not one of them behind.
وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم ألن نجعل لكم موعدا.
And they are set before thy Lord in ranks, and it is said unto them, Now verily have ye come unto us as we created you at the first, but ye thought that we had set no tryst for you.
ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا.
And the book is placed, and thou seest the guilty fearful of that which is therein, and they say, What kind of a book is this that leaveth not a small thing, nor a great thing, but hath counted it? And they find all that they did confronting them, and thy Lord wrongeth no one.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا.
And remember, when we said unto the angels, Fall prostrate before Adam, and they fell prostrate, all save Iblis. He was of the jinn, so he rebelled against his Lord's command. Will ye choose him and his seed for your protecting friends instead of me, when they are an enemy unto you? Calamitous is the exchange for evildoers.
ما أشهدتهم خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم وما كنت متخذ المضلين عضدا.
I made them not to witness the creation of the heavens and the earth, nor their own creation, nor choose I misleaders for my helpers.
وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُوا شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ فَدَعَوْهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا.
And be mindful of the day when he will say, Call those partners of mine whom ye pretended. Then they will cry unto them, but they will not hear their prayer, and we shall set a gulf of doom between them.
وَرَأَى الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارَ فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُوهَا وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا.
And the guilty behold the fire, and know that they are about to fall therein, and they find no way of escape thence.
وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا.
And verily we have displayed for mankind in this Quran all manner of similitudes, but man is more than anything contentious.
وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا.
And naught hindereth mankind from believing when the guidance cometh unto them, and from asking forgiveness of their Lord, unless it be that they wish that the judgment of the men of old should come upon them, or that they should be confronted with the doom.
وما نرسل المرسلين إلا مبشرين ومنذرين ويجادل الذين كفروا بالباطل ليدحضوا به الحق واتخذوا آياتي وما أنذروا هزوا.
We send not the messengers save as bearers of good news and warners. Those who disbelieve contend with falsehood in order to refute the truth thereby, and they take our revelations and that wherewith they are threatened as a jest.
ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه فأعرض عنها ونسي ما قدمت يداه إنا جعلنا على قلوبهم أكنة أن يفقهوه وفي آذانهم وقرا وإن تدعهم إلى الهدى فلن يهتدوا إذا أبدا.
And who doth greater wrong than he who hath been reminded of the revelations of his Lord, yet turneth away from them and forgetteth?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name
أشهد لا إله إلا الله أشهد لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أعوذ بالله I seek refuge with Allah من الشيطان away from من الشيطان الرجيم be rejected is honestly rejected and cursed enemy of mankind. Shaitan is not the enemy of Allah. Because Shaitan's not big enough to be Allah's enemy. No one's big enough. Nothing's big enough to be an enemy of Allah. Even if in their small thinking, they may assume that, but nothing can measure up. They get shown their own shortcomings. But he is an open and avowed enemy to mankind. Open and avowed enemy to us. You will even see in the Quran where Shaitan will say, in reference to God, he'll say, my Lord. He submits. But he would not submit to our father Adam. Therefore, he does not submit to us. He's our avowed enemy. So we say, A'udhu billahi I seek refuge or protection with Allah away from Satan, the rejected accursed enemy of mankind. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship, no God except Allah, the one God, la sharika lah, and he has no partners, he has no associates. There is none like unto him. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the Rasul, the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and the peace be upon him. Thankful and grateful to our Lord, sustainer, our creator, our savior, Allah. Allah is the savior of saviors. Anybody tell you they got a savior, you can tell them we're all our savior's savior. That's guaranteed every single time. I want to speak some on God's chosen people. I'm going to have a talk on God's chosen people. We should understand that just by you being created, just by me being created, we are God's chosen people. Every person born is God's chosen people. You say, well, where's your truth? Did you choose yourself? Did your mama and daddy choose you? Even with all the DNA and all that, and because they freeze the sperm and all that. You know, they didn't make the sperm, so they didn't choose you. Every person born is chosen by Allah. Every human born is God's chosen. So again, we are all the chosen people of Allah. All of us. We are the chosen people of Allah. I once was in a class at Morton University, on AFF 42, and the teacher, she said, Miss Mary Wheeler, God bless her, she would tell us on the first day of class, she said, everybody in here, your grade is A. She said, now it's your job to keep it. Right? First day of class, everybody in here is an A student. Now, over the next 6 weeks, can you keep it? Now, if you look at that, it's the same with for human beings. From the first day we're here, we're created. We're born as God's chosen. We're born sinless. We're born perfect. And it's our job to keep it. It's work. It's our job to keep it. Alhamdulillah. We're not born ill-equipped. We're not born half-equipped. We are born perfect. That's what Allah wants us to be made. So we didn't get an okay machine coming through okay on the internet. Okay. Just want to make sure. So we are thankful to Allah for that. We are grateful. Allah tells us in the Quran, and I don't have the verse in front of me. All right. Can you hear me? Come on. No, the other one. Yes, the big one, yes. easy to find in this one for Chicago. Surah, this is me, chapter 49:13. Read it very often because it's so powerful. 49:13. I think it's called Hujra. Okay. Let me get my Roman numbers together. Allah says here in the Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuha nasu, inna kalaknakum min fakrin wa unsa. O mankind, we have created you from a factor, as a male, wa unsa, a female. وَجَعَلْنَكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا, and made you into nations and tribes so that you can لِتَعَارَفُوا. What is لِتَعَارَفُوا? Is to become acquainted with and to acknowledge in a respectful way each other. So he made us tribes and nations, and so we recognize that because Allah made it. Right? Allah made tribes and nations. But he didn't made it, he tells us why he made us tribes and nations, so we can let the others get acquainted with each other, learn from each other. Arafu, you can hear the word Arafat, like Ahash, Arafat. You can hear that same message. Because on Arafat, key point of Hajj is where you get to know other people. Yes? You get acquainted with the people on Arafat. So here, let the Arafu, that you may get to know each other. It says, Inna at Rahmakum et Delaha at Kadkum, but the most honor of you. It's not you this tribe or that tribe, or you this race or this ethnicity. Allah says the best of you in his sight is the one who is at Kaifun, who has that taqwa, that God consciousness, that supersedes your skin color, your race, your gender even, your ethnicity. That taqwa, that God consciousness, it puts all that in a second-class status. It is your taqwa that rises above that. Yes, Allah made us nations and tribes, and we recognize that. He made us males and females, we recognize males and females. So it evolves into the higher stages, that taqwa, that God consciousness. So, inna Allahu alima kabir, and Allah is well acquainted with all things. He has full knowledge, and he is well acquainted with all things. Why is this verse so important? If we look at every human being that Allah made as being chosen, special, made on the pattern of our father, Adam, made on the pattern of our original nature, our fitra. Every human being, born none. If we can accept that, and as believers, we shouldn't have much trouble accepting that. You know, Allah speaks, we say, Sadaq Allah Elohim. Allah has spoken, and Allah speaks a mighty truth. It's clear. It's easy to understand. There's no ambiguity. You say, well, what do you mean by that? There are some verses in the Quran, like Shubaha, that can symbolic parables. But the main of the book is Mukamat, the basic, fundamental, logical, easy to understand. And what we just read here is easy to understand. It erases a lot of problems for the human family. So, alhamdulillah. when Allah made our father Adam, and keep in mind when it speaks of Adam, well, actually, when the holy book speaks of any prophet, each of them is speaking about us as human beings on one stage of evolution or development or another. Not from some tadpole or some frog. I'm saying that the real development of us is our soul, not our flesh and blood. It's our soul. And Allah says, spend on your soul wisely. He says, don't barter the good things of this life against your soul and lose your soul. So the real microsite here, the real you, is not what I'm looking at on the outside. The real you is your soul, your nafs. That's the real you. And Allah says, work on it, develop it, build it up. So when Allah speaks about the prophets, don't try to figure a two-legged man and miss. Did Adam represent? What did Jonah represent? What did Jesus represent? What did Muhammad represent? Then you will see the real picture of all of these great prophets. And they represent special qualities that's innate in our very maker from the day we are born, before we are born from our mothers. All of those qualities that those prophets represent innately is in us, potentially is in every human being. Not some, all human beings. Because so we all are born on the pattern of Adam, or he's saying that picture, that original human nature. He's still talking about God's chosen people. God's chosen people. So in the Quran, Allah, he asked Adam, I'm sorry, he asked Iblis, because Iblis wouldn't bow. So Allah says that he said to them, he said, when I have fashioned him, my man, and given him my own spirit, Allah says, bow down to my man. And they all bowed, except Iblis. And Allah says, what prevents you from bowing down to the man that I made with my two hands? He says, I'm better than him. Right? Ekstakbara, you can hear the word Akbar. Is that right? That's, it comes from the same root word. I'm bigger than him. I'm better than him. You made me from a fire free of smoke. You made them from mud, black mud. I'm better than them. And so take that picture we painted right now. And whenever you find someone who say, I'm better than them, then you will see an Iblis in real life, in real live action. In other words, you chose me, but you didn't choose them. The arrogance come out, and they can't hide it. Even if they want to hide it, they can't hide it. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he's called Al-Mustafa. We got Mustafa, which means the one that's chosen. He's called Al-Mustafa, or Mustafa, right? He's a special one chosen because of the mission and the purpose and the job he had to bring the revelation to the human family. So he was chosen specially for that. But then the Quran says, Muhammad tells them that you are special like Mustafa. A flesh and blood man, you know, flesh and blood man, just like everybody else. So his specialty was that he received revelation and we don't. We read the revelation and he received the revelation and we don't. So he was chosen in that regard. But he said, but tell them, you're an everyday guy just like them. That is so sobering for us. That is really refreshing to us to say, oh, man, I have a model. I have an example that's a flesh and blood man just like me. I can follow him. He ain't walking on water. He ain't changing. He ain't doing all kind of. He done his miracles. Don't get me wrong, but it was like the focus was that Allah says the earth was populated. He said, if the earth was populated with angels, I would have sent you an angel for your messenger. But the earth is populated by human beings. He sent us for flesh and blood, man, just like us. Why is that so important? Because it takes away from us creating an excuse from being the best we can be. But also, it takes away the con game and the scheme of the liars that want to say that some are better than others. If you can say that what God made some better than others, then if God said it, it must be right. Allow us that. And Muhammad the Prophet didn't allow that. He said to us in this last sermon, he says, we all are the children of Adam and his wife, they call Eve, and there's no superiority of a non-Arab over an Arab. Then he's an Arab. Right? The first one he put in place is his own race. There's no superiority of a non-Arab over an Arab or an Arab over a non-Arab. No superiority of a black over a white or a white over a black, except in what regard? Taqwa. That's the only goal. I can be better than you. You're better than me. That's the only way. We all are God's chosen people. All of us. Again, we chose you to be here. Allah did. No one but Allah chose you to be here. We say this all the time and make the point. You say, what's your birthday? Oh, my birthday is so and so and so. I put out my life and soul to you. And you go get them down in 10 seconds at a length. You say, you sure? They say, well, they told me. Oh, but you don't know, do you? No, but it took me that all my life. You know, I got a blood brother. And his birthday was always February 28th. My mother passed when he was young, right? He said, go to the Board of Health. And he said, 27th? 27th? I thought it was 28th. And he changed it. You know what I'm saying? So we don't know, do we? The point being, Allah chose us to be here. Now, would Allah choose you to be here and make you a second-class human being? No. Would he bring you here and be ill-equipped? No. Would he bring you here as a sinner? No. Because he made you, and Allah don't make sinners. He said you were born here on the pattern of the original pattern called Fitra. He said it was your mother and your father that made you Jew or Christian. We all are born Muslim. Yeah. I found out from his DNA thing, but I'm 1% Jewish, right? So I told a Jewish friend, a rabbi, this week, I said, yeah, you know, I'm 1% Jewish. He said, yeah, but you're 100% Muslim. That's what he told me. But alhamdulillah, he's right. But you know, I told him, I said, you are too. You are 100% Muslim too. Yes. They just don't know it in the intellect. Because Muslim means that we submit to God's will. And we came out of the womb doing God's will until the world began to speak to us, take us outside of our original character. So alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Allah says he made man from his two hands. And the Imam Deputy Muhammad, Allah be pleased with him, he explained it to us. He said, the two hands. What are the two hands? You know, we read and say, it says hands, it's hands, two hands. And they asked the question. And so the small-minded person say, see, I told you God was a man. I say, see, I told you God was a man. He got two hands. Remember how many in his mercy to us. He says, God's two hands are He created us two hands. The first hand was the world of the natural things, and the other hand was the world of revelation. And you can see it in Surah 55 of the Quran, right? Ar-Rahman, Al-Quran, okay? Allah, you taught the Quran, and then it says, Kala Kala El Insan, then creates man. You see the process, right? Ar-Rahman, the verse is from one that gives. What did he give? He gave the Quran. And only after giving the Quran to Muhammad was Muhammad created. You see it? And then gave him intelligent speech. Right? And taught him intelligent speech. So the making of you and the making of me was not in the first hand, the first creation was our physical birth. But the education we got from the Quran is the other hand making us. Allah says he made Adam with two hands. He made you with two hands. So your man says, and when that happens, angels, then you have to submit to my creation, right? My man is, I created him. Then God said, speaking to Iblis, what is wrong with you that you do not submit to the man that I have made with my two hands? Meaning he has two major controls. Hands just mean control. Anytime you want to control something, he got a hand over, right? Yeah, he got a hand on it. Or you say, can you get a hand on that? If you're out of control, can you get a hand on that? So don't think of this, of five fingers. You're saying control. Allah said that I made with my two hands, meaning his two major controls. So the one, the world of natural things, that is one of God's controls, and the other control is revelation. The man that I made with revelation. I made man with the material world. They are supported by my natural creation, but I am also making this particular man with my word, with revelation. And when the word came to Muhammad, he was the man for the model for all human beings. And if you follow the model of Muhammad, you're made by God's word, then we have salvation. We have salvation. So we are fighting against artificial superiority. And this world is full of artificial superiority. Some made up concoction to convince the person who's arrogant why they are better than somebody else. So they can put them in slavery. You have to convince yourself of an artificial superiority and give your intended victim an artificial inferiority in order for you to run your game. So we have slavery because of that. We have females being abused to this day because of that. Men are convinced in their head that they are superior over women. And that's not always true. In some regards, women are superior to men. You have to recognize that. Because they chose them too. It is hard for Jewish people, some of them, to see a Palestinian as equal with them. That allows them to go in there and kill them and abuse them. But then, likewise, then Muslims, we're not exempt. Some Muslims are just as confused the other way because they say, oh, well, you know, the Quran says that the Jews were made in the apes. It says they were made in the apes. They are less than us. So I'm going to put on me a bomb around me and commit a sin. That's how when you are illogical in your thinking, you will do illogical things. Is suicide permitted in Islam? No, it's not. Is suicide permitted in Islam in any form? No, it's not. But once you pick up ideas and concepts that every human being created is not chosen by God, and you think that for some reason you're better than them, then you find suicide bombers. But given a concept, you guarantee paradise. But you're going against an obvious wrong because suicide is forbidden in Islam. The American Indians, why are they pushing the reservations? On the same concept, somebody had an artificial superiority complex. Last poet calls it a God complex. For those who know the last poet, okay? Same concept. You think that God chose you over everybody else, and They don't have a soul. For a long time it was taught, in the church that the African had no soul and the female had no soul. That was official doctrine for a long time. Can you see the beliefs in that conversation in that thinking? So how are we going to really get to places where we can solve human problems and conflicts when people are allowed to have an artificial perception of themselves? And you want to feed it to somebody else until they begin to buy it, the artificial inferiority complex of themselves. How can we get to world peace unless we confront those issues head on? So you got to follow what Muhammad said. Peace be upon him. I don't care what your religion may be. What did Muhammad say? There's no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab or a non-Arab over an Arab or a black over a white or whatever black. Until you say what Muhammad said, you're going to have problems. And believe me, Muslims have problems accepting that. Just travel around the world, go to certain masjids, and it's so interesting, even here locally, some of the African-American Muslims have been complaining. They ain't treating us right. You know, this, and they said this. One child said this to my child. I'm like, you know, and I'm going to tell you what I've already been thinking. I said, well, why are you staying over there? That's my real thought. Allah says the earth is spacious. You've been abused somewhere over here, over there. Allah says, and you are being oppressed, and therefore you begin to commit wrong and sin because you've been oppressed. It says on Judgment Day, they're going to ask you, did you have the means to leave that environment? The woman being abused by her husband, did you have the means to leave, scheduled spouse abuse? In other words, it's on a regular. Did you have not the means to leave? It said if you did not leave, then you would be held accountable for your sins. So the point I'm trying to make, I'm not trying to criticize this particular group or that group, I'm just saying for all of us, even myself, I have to be able to look at every person, every human being, and say, that's God's creation. And as you remember, Muhammad said, even if I can't love you as you are, I still can love you for how God intended you to be. And that's how we should look at things. But until we get to that point there, we're going to have atrocities. And it's pitiful. It's pitiful the way the Palestinians and Gaza are being treated. Pitiful, pitiful, pitiful. Make you angry. But then someone say, like your brother asked me, he said, what was Hamas thinking? They knew it was going to cause this reaction. And so then we begin to rationalize. You know, but the truth be told is that the Quran says, tell the truth. If one is wrong, tell them they're wrong. If one is right, tell them they're right. And our hearts go out to the innocent on both sides. That would be my position. That has to be my position. Your hearts go out to the innocent. Not by their religion. Not by their ethnic group or their principles. Were they innocent? Yes. But then what does the Quran say about the innocent? And you can take it, what the Quran say about the innocent. What does the Quran say about the weak and the infirm? What did Muhammad say about going to battle, going to fight against he strongly forbade going against the innocent. So when we see Muslims doing that, what we have to do? We have to stand up and tell the truth, say, I love you, but you're wrong. Not by my standard, but by the Quran. I love you, but you're wrong by Muhammad's standard. And that's how we have to be. And Allah knows best. Maybe the good people in the Jewish community can say, you know, even our book says an eye for an eye, but you're only getting 10 eyes for one eye, 100 eyes for one eye. You're not following your own book. So we got 2 million Muslims not following our book and our prophet. We got 2 million Jews not following their books and their prophets. We got 2 million Christians not following their book and their prophets. because they think they're better than somebody else. And in closing, the first part, the first thing they have to do for a soldier in the army to get them to go kill somebody is to convince them they're less than human. Right there in boot camp, coon, nigger, whatever, right? Slant eye, whatever. So it takes you shutting down your God consciousness to pull that trigger to kill God's creation. And they know that. So they drill into your head all while you're marching. You be singing against the one who they want you to go kill because you're going to kill God's creation. And it's proven. If they can't get you to dumb down your intellect and your heart to go kill a human being, what do they call you? A conscientious. So what are they saying? If they call that one, like a Muhammad Ali, a conscientious objector, it means the one pulling the gun, so what? Unconscious. How can you see it? You say, you won't go fight because it's conscious, objector. But why are they fighting? Because they have no conscious. You killed it with the hot 2-3-4. Go kill the spike. Go kill the Indian. Enslave this. Yes. But we got to come back to say, a law of creation. Yeah, we say, but they're drunk. They ain't going to last forever. They're uneducated. Go teach them. Be like Muhammad the prophet. You have to be that way. We're going to be questioned on Judgment Day. We all going to be questioned. All of us going to be questioned. And it's going to be some simple questions. But if we take on the spirit of the Iblis, I'm better than them. Well, then you think you're chosen and they're not. We all are God's chosen people. We don't say children in Islam. They say children. You say, no. I was talking to somebody the other day, and a friend kept saying, we all God's children. I kept being quiet, and finally he knew where I was while being quiet. And so he said, well, you know what I mean. He said, you know what I mean. I said, well, we all God's creation. God don't hear our children, right? Quote who will offer Allah the son that lamb ye led. Well, lamb ye led. And we don't budge on that. I see, once you say someone's God's child, what are you doing? You're saying, then they, so those of us who came out of the church, like me, right? We came out of the church. They say, that's God's child. You say, man, he looked like the mailman to me with long hair. And go back a little bit further, he looked just like the one that was a slave master on the plantation. But he loves you. He's got him right. So now you're going to begin to say, well, my son, right, or your son. You say, yeah, boy, okay, you look just like Jamal. Boy, ain't that Jamal's son? Look at that thing. He got his nose, got his eyes and all that. See how wicked that thing is to show us a white Jesus or even a black Jesus? How wicked that is? Or you'll say, oh, wow, I can't see the Father. I see the Son. Oh, that's how God looks. You know, they give us white hands coming out of the clouds. Remember all that? Some of y'all didn't have that problem. We had that problem. White hand coming out of the cloud, but then when they show the devil, he was dusky. He was dusky, right? Yeah, that's wicked. That is positive wicked to do that in the name of God. Because you're trying to put your scheme to say, I'm better, I'm chosen, and they're not. They don't have a soul. It don't stop there. And it says, well, what is his gender? Oh, he's a male. Oh. Oh, women don't hear that, huh? Women don't have that quality. So then you put it down women. Then you create nationalism. They say, well, what's his nationality? Oh, he was Jewish. Oh, they chose him. So the Jews are better than anybody else. Pitiful. They ain't no better than anybody else unless they have what? The taqwa. they don't have that, then I don't care if it's me or my mother, my father. If they don't have the taco, I can't, although I still love them, my mother and my daddy, but they don't measure up to the noble call Allah gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until the world comes to that, you're going to have more wars, you're going to have more bombing, you're going to have more infliction, you're going to have more pain. Because somebody thinks they're better than somebody else. And the others are not chosen by God, and God chose all of us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Our Lord bless us and guide us. Have mercy upon us all. Forgive us all of our sins. Complete all of our shortcomings. Have mercy upon our souls. Amen. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. We thank Allah for this life as Muslims. We thank Allah for growing us in knowledge as Muslims. But our work, dear believers, is not inside the masjid. The masjid will be coming to get fine-tuned, like taking your car to the shop to get your tires realigned, to change your oil. That's what the masjid is for. And yet, you get fine-tuned, you can get out there and hit the roads. Same for us. Our work is not in the masjid. Take what we get in the masjid and take it in all over, wherever we go. Take it in your character. Take it in your disposition. Take it in your business building. Take it when you're going to school. Take it out and share with the people. Talk to the people about Islam. If you get irritated, change the conversation. Some of us, we are so busy that we don't learn Alice, Bad, Tack, and forgot the ABCs. ABCs mean the basics of life. We're so busy, you know, with chickpeas and prayer rugs and all that, but we forget that while we got thicker beasts to make us remember Allah so we can go and serve people. Not to keep rubbing our fingers, our thumb across the finger joints, or having beads in our hand. Our job is not inside the masjid to people. Our job is outside the masjid. And you don't need to have no grand, no flashing sign saying, I'm Muslim, Allah is God, and Muhammad is the messenger. As you live it, after a while, they're going to ask, they say, something about you that's different. What is it? Then you tell them, I'm Muslim. I believe this, I believe that. But our work is outside the masjid. I'm going to ask you all, if you can't pick up a copy of the recorder, see, I got my column in this week. Now, I like it because it's in there, but most times, in the religious section, which this is in, you go on the first page that says religion. So I guess then, like I said about the Middle East and Jews, they put it on the last page. They didn't mention the source. But that's okay. They got some things off the internet. And so I've been blasting it all over. And tell all my friends, if you like what I've written, tell the editor. But let us take our voice that we have gotten from the Quran, not our personal voice. Take it to the people. Take it to our family. You see, they don't want to hear that. They know this. There you go again with their moves and stuff. Well, if they do that, that's on them. But you try and share what Allah has blessed you with. Because we are told what? The best of us is the one who learned the Quran. Is that right? It was part two. And teach it. So if you learn the Quran and don't teach it, then you're not the best. You get selfish. Excuse my expression. You get selfish. You just read and learn, do it by heart, and just sit there and hum to yourself. You know what the Quran says? When you learn it, to be the best, you got to learn it first. So you know what you're talking about. And then go teach it. Let us get busy. We got work to do. Our Lord, grant us good in this life, grant us good in the afterlife, and protect us from the torment of our sins. I mean, be kind.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salat. Hayya ala salat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Okay, coming to Salah, coming to Salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
The right to Salat to Juma, Raka Tang, the last of the others to the top. My time teaches from Sri Lanka, Jerusalem, to Allah the Exalted, the Father. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا حاكبوت كافر أتعزوت المكابر كلا سفة ألمون ثم كلا سفة ألمون كلا ما تألمون ما يكين أتضربون الجاكين ثم لتضربون أهلا يكين ثم لتصلون يا ما إجين للمعين Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamidah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Malik Yawm al-Din Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in Ihdina As-Sirata Al-Mustaqim صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل لكل همزات ونفات قال بجمع أمل وأهدد يشهد أن الله أسند كما لا ينزل فتما وما أجرك وما فتما لا بالله مفدا التي تتلف ولا أفدا إنها عليهم مفدا في عمد ممددا الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام الله الحمد لله لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط
I don't think anybody got anything to say on Facebook.
You're on Facebook and on your Zoom. Got a new comment. Let's see the comments. Oh, someone asked, how much are the banquet tickets? The tickets are $45. If you're over 62, they are $40. If you're from 11 to 18, it's $30. And 2 to 10 is $15. So you can go to our website. Go to our website, nurallah.org. nurallah.org. And you can see the price of the tickets. If you want to make a donation. Thank you so much, Aisha. I don't see any more announcements. And thank you all for the wonderful comments right here as well. So we're going to. Yes, the wonderful comments. Yeah. Okay. So this will be saved on Facebook and on YouTube. That's what I'm going to do. How are you doing?
If anybody wants any ferns, go ahead and grab them because we've got a hard freeze coming. Is it Marna?
We have many traditions that carry great messages. If we only had the knowledge to unlock the message in those traditions. You know, the people in religion, they have been taught of a heaven and a hell, or of an earth and a heaven. And Jesus' prayer, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we, as adopted, and I say adopted because the Bible used this term, we as adopted people in the religion of Christianity, we have never been given the knowledge of the two heavens of the Bible. There are two heavens. And it's not just in Christianity or Judaism. You can go in many nations of the world who believe in religion, who believe in spiritual worship, and you will find them believing in an earthly heaven as well as a spiritual heaven. A heaven on earth as well as a spirit as a heaven after what we call physical death. So in Scripture, when you're reading about heaven, many times you're only reading about the leadership in religion. The leadership in the religion, they represent the heaven. And when they come down here with the masses and sacrifice their high position in heaven, that is called coming down from heaven to earth. And Jesus was one who was never in the heaven of the Jews, but he was lifted up to heaven by God. And then he preached among the people called the poor, the unlearned, or what we would call today the grassroots people or the masses. He taught among them. So he was one from another world teaching in a world that was not his own. And that's what he said. He said, this world is not mine. Because God had lifted him up to a higher world. And then he had come down and sacrificed his peace, his happiness in that world to live among sinners so that their lives would be lifted up too, to that heaven. And he prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. His prayer was to God, that was for God to bring the leadership down to earth. And when you read the Bible, you see a trend there, a movement. There's a movement from Genesis to Revelation. The Satan, the enemy of God, he's moving up trying to get to heaven. Not because he want to be heavenly, but because he wants to rule heaven and earth. So the enemy of God, he's trying to get up to heaven. And the prophet of God, he's trying to bring heaven down to the people. You see? So those are the two movements. Please don't clap. Allahu Akbar. It takes time, and we have a schedule here today that we have to obey. All right. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to God, the sustainer, the guardian sustainer of all the world. So when we understand these two movements, then we understand the heaven that you should be living in now, as well as the heaven you should prepare to enter at the end of time. It's more important for us to bring heaven down to earth than it is for us to just give our whole life to hoping and praying and wishing for our heaven after the earth is no more. Most of those who put all of the importance, who places all the importance on the heaven when the earth is no more, they neglect to do their job on this earth. And they leave their lives to the forces of wickedness and to a hell on earth. The key to coming out of hell on earth is the knowledge that earth is also prepared by God to be turned into a heaven for people. We are told that there once was a paradise, a garden, and that the mankind, our ancestors, our ancient ancestors, our first ancestors, they lived in a paradise. That God put them in a garden, into a paradise. We weren't told that they had to be killed before coming into that paradise. We were told that God put them into that paradise. And that mistakes, weakness, and wickedness caused them to lose their place in that paradise. So this is simple. This is simple as a teaching. The only thing we have to do to bring that paradise again, or to put ourselves again in a paradise, is to stop behaving wickedly in the earth and turn our hearts completely to God and give our life completely to His cause and obey Him and don't listen to the whispers of the devil. Don't listen to the temptations of flesh, but give ourselves wholly to Almighty God, and we can reverse this thing and put ourselves again in a garden or in a paradise on earth. In the last of the Bible, called the Revelation, a city is seen coming down from the sky to the earth. A city of equality and justice. A city of light. Says that the city was built cubicle, had a lot of squares in it, 12 times 12, a lot of squares in it. What does this mean? It means equality. It was a city of equality. And then it says that its measurement was 144, 12 and 144. What does this mean? 12 represents the whole world, universalism. We have 12 hours in the day. We have 12 signs in the zodiac. The zodiac is the clock or the sign in the heavens, in the sky, for that universe, for this one we belong to. Okay, and the 12 hours, that's the cycle of day. and we have 12 hours for night. They don't always fall exactly in that enough proportion, but we give 12 for night and 12 for day. So 12 stands for the whole world, for all the hours of the day and for the whole world. And the Bible is only saying that there's coming a time when the whole world is going to come into one truth, and that truth is going to be God's truth, Almighty God's truth. And that the whole world is going to live the whole life, the whole, all the hours of the day is going to be spent in that life. Not 6 hours to something and 6 hours to another, but all the hours shall be given to God, and all the world shall come to God. And a community based on God, the worship of one God, obedience to his law, reflecting his truth, a community of light lit with the truth of God is going to come down from the sky as a hope of the people to the earth as a reality for the people. This is the scripture that you have. This is what the scripture that you have, you Christians and Jews, the scripture that you have tell you these things. Allah revealed the Quran, the last and complete and perfect revelation to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And this Quran makes these things perfectly clear. But unless you know how to read the Quran, and unless you are blessed by God to get the benefits from that book, you won't see that the Holy Quran is telling more clearly, telling more plainly, without the problems, without the confusion, without the corruption. Islam, the Quran is telling it perfectly clear without any problem. The same thing that the Bible tells us, and that is that man was made by nature to live a good life and to give his soul and his whole life to his Creator. But deceivers, wicked forces in life, take the man away from his nature. And when man is taken away from his original nature, or taken away from his God-given nature, he falls under the artificial forces of the society. And those artificial forces, those lying concepts, those lying ideologies, those false, corrupt ideas, philosophies, and ideologies, they begin to feed the mind of the man and take his nature further and further away from that God established him in from the very beginning. And God has to send his messengers to correct the problem. But as fast as his messengers come to correct the problem, the wicked forces try to crucify, try to assassinate, try to kill and shed the blood of truth that messenger brought. So God sends another one behind him. Bring it back again. And another one, bring it back again. And this is to continue according to scripture, according to old scripture, until the end of time, until the wicked have spent all of their energy and don't have any energy left to contend with God. The Bible called this the fullness of the Gentiles. When the Gentiles shall have reached their fullness, the Gentiles have no power of their own to bring themselves into fullness. It is the forces of Judaism combined with the lie of a Jacobite people that brings the Gentiles to their fullness. They can't bring themselves to their fullness. It is the wicked forces in so-called Judaic scripture that have brought the Gentiles to their fullness. And what is this fullness? The fullness to the brim of moral decadence, of spiritual decadence, of lies and corruption, of racism and white supremacy. All of these things have been forced on the ignorant Gentile world by the hidden poison in so-called Judaic teaching. Those subtle hidden poisons that go under surface. They don't go on surface. they go under the surface. If they come out from under the ground and go on the surface, they come up as angels of light. So they cover their false, wicked image with false appearance of holiness. And the Bible says that the dragon, that old Satan, the devil, transformed himself into an angel of light. And the book says that he aspired. His aim was to sit on the very seat, on the very throne of heaven. And he got himself up into the pulpit of Almighty God and presented himself as an angel of light. What is an angel in the Bible? The angel is a messenger of truth. Light means truth, religious truth. So here this Satan, he kept working until he got himself in the position where the people respect him and worship him and follow his word as though he is the messenger of God's truth. Now look, I'm telling you what your Bible tells you in plain language. Now I ask you, in case you have some problem, I ask you, what would be your plan if you were Satan and you wanted to take people from God? Wouldn't your best plan would be to put yourself in the image of God's angel? Wouldn't your best plan would be to present yourself as a priest? If you were the Satan and you had the power to plan how to take over God's rule, then you would try to get in and infiltrate God's kingdom. Infiltrate the heaven of God. Infiltrate the church leadership. Or if there was no church in your time, then you would plan how to build yourself a church and put your people over your church and dress them in the angel light of God. Our world has come under the forces of Satan. I'm not talking about the Satan that primitive people believe in. I'm not talking about a Satan that you identify in a headache, in a migraine headache, or in an arthritic pain that you can't explain, or in insanity that you find in some child or in some member in the community. I'm talking about the Satan mind that is clever, very clever, rational in its own darkness. A cold, sharp calculator that exists in human bodies and never have existed in anything but human bodies. This is the Satan we are talking about. Man, long time ago, overcome the Satan in headaches, in rheumatism, and in mental disease. Long time ago, we overcame that Satan. We identified him as psychological problems, chemical problems, muscular problems, etc., etc. But there's a Satan that the world has yet to identify and understand. And that's that Satan that wanted to capture God's kingdom, capture the righteous forces on earth, and present himself as the leader of those righteous forces to guarantee him and his servants that God will never be a problem for us anymore. And that is what has happened. Look what is happening to our religion here today. You go to the church and the church is nothing but a shell. There is no spiritual force in it. Long time ago, they had to use tambourines, drums, bugles, horns, to drum up some spirit, because there was no force in the word. Now they bring jazz in. Acid rock. Witchcraft. Fornication. Adultery. Alcoholism. Dope. Not all of them, but I'm telling you what I know of some churches. Some are pushing dope. And most of them promote alcoholism. Communion tempts the weak person to drink. You see the priest drinking wine, he thinks, good God Almighty, sure wish I had another bottle of that old good four roses or whatever they call it. So when he sees the priest drinking the holy wine, he remembers his sinful wine. The holy wine has the effect of making us remember the sinful wine. Didn't just happen. Satan has been moving against religion for a long, long time. His way is to corrupt the religion. His way is to corrupt it and take away your conscience so that you don't have any guilty conscience while you are living a corrupt life. His way is to make you feel comfortable as an adulterer, as a fornicator, as a liar, as a thief, as a deceiver. His way is to make you feel comfortable like that and still identify with Christianity, with Christ. This society that we live in is a so-called Christian society. It identifies with Christ, but it has more divorces, more rapes, more adultery, fornication, more murder. There is more of all the major crimes happening in so-called Christian society than they are happening in the rest of the world combined. Isn't this evidence? Isn't this clear evidence that Satan has taken over this so-called Christian life? Our life is not Christ-like. Our life is devil-like. We give ourselves as slaves to the rule of racism, to the rule of divisiveness, discrimination, to the rule of corruption, moral corruption, spiritual corruption, family corruption. We give ourselves to the rule of that. How many of us have the courage to even come up here and just repeat what I'm saying? How many of us have the courage to go home in the privacy of your own home and repeat what I'm saying? As soon as you leave here, you get fear on you. The hope is go out of you like a fizzle of wind. You don't have any more hope no more. Your strength is just robbed of you the moment I stop talking. You have been conditioned to believe that righteousness have no hope in this world, that truth have no hope in this world, that obedience to God has no hope in this world. You have been programmed and conditioned to obey the devil, whether you like it or not. Pitiful enslaved people. There was no slave ever existed on the plantation any more slave than you are right here today. Scratch their hands, yes, boss. They weren't as much of a slave as you are. Many of them had the courage to pray to God for a deliverer, right in the face of the slave master, and they were whipped for doing so. But many of them still had the love and the faith in righteousness and in a righteous God, that they were seen praying again, and the slave master had to whip them over and over again. He had to kill some of them to stop them from praying for a deliverer who would show them a way into righteousness and truth. You are more a coward today than your slave parents were. You don't have the faith to even pray what I'm telling you. You don't. You don't have the backbone. You don't have the courage to pray what I'm telling you. If you would just stand out on the street, stand out there on Madison and State, and say, oh God, please stop religion from acting against our lives. Please stop the white Jesus on the cross from making us feel inferior. Please stop it from enslaving the minds and robbing the minds of black people. Please remove the white image of divinity from our communities. You don't have the courage to pray this. I tell you over and over, you don't have your own mind. If you had your own mind, you would respond like you got your own mind. You got an artificial mind. An artificial mind that has been made for you and put in the atmosphere for you to breathe into your head. And that's what you have done. You have breathed into your head an artificial mind that works against your very well-being, works against the nature, your nature to grow and overcome your problem. You can't grow, you can't overcome your problem, because the leader in your body is an artificial mind that works for the slave masters of this world. I'm not talking about slave masters that want your physical arm and your physical legs in shackles. I'm talking about much greater slave masters. I'm talking about giants in the history of slave masters who know how to shackle your senses, shackle your morals, shackle your spirit, and keep you weak and inferior. Who spoke to us today and told us that we have to get more better responses from our government, that they don't have our well-being at heart, that they are not going to protect our families. They are not going to protect our moral life. They are not going to protect our spiritual life. They are not going to stimulate economic development in our communities. He's telling us that there is no hope for you unless you exert your power, exert your forces. I don't care how small they are, how weak your forces are. He's telling you unless you exert the little power you have to irritate these people who are comfortable in their seats on your back, you are not going to get any place. That's what he's telling you. That's what he came here and told you. That's his method. He's working with us. I don't mean he's under our community, but he's a person who recognized the problem. He's fighting the same problem that we recognize and that we are fighting. But he is fighting them from his own office and from his own plan. We are fighting them from our office and from our plan. I thank Allah that he is fighting too. But if he saw the power of what I'm doing, he would leave his office and he would join me, and he would go out as bravely as he came in here. He would go out to the churches, and if they wouldn't let him in, he'd carry a plaque demonstrating a poster, speaking what he want to say. And he would stand out there and he would demonstrate. He would force the word on their mind until they heard it. What is that word? We are not under the forces of police captains. We are not under the forces of mayors and governors and the army of the United States. We are not under the forces of the president. We are under the forces of a diabolical message that's in your Bible as a loaded gun to blow your damn brains out. And that's exactly what that message, that hidden message in the Bible has done. It has blown the brains out of the Western world leadership. So they give themselves to anything. They obey any wicked force. They don't know God. They don't know the power of God. Long ago, they gave themselves to forces other than the powers of God. They trusted false images of God, false concepts of God. They trusted concepts of God, images of God, that satisfied their weakness. Their weakness. Their weakness for racial superiority in the earth. They bought an image of God that looked like themselves from a wicked people that gave them that image so that their power would be limited to themselves. If I worship a God in my image, I can't grow any bigger than that image. I have to have the proper image of God to grow bigger than that image. So if you give a Caucasian an image of God that is Caucasian, that Caucasian will never be able to grow bigger than a Caucasian. I don't care how much he loves God. I don't care how spiritual he becomes. He'll never be nothing but a Caucasian, because when he prays, he's looking at a Caucasian. He calls him Christ. He calls him Christ. He calls him the Son of God. He calls him a spiritual savior. But when he looks at him, he sees a flesh savior in his own image. So how can that Caucasian grow bigger than his own image when he doesn't have anything bigger than his own image to look at when he prays? And how can you, who don't look like that image, grow at all when you are looking at that image and praying? Bless me, I'm going to rail the hell out of your brain until you wake up. Allah has blessed us with understanding, with the keys to the wicked plots that this world's leadership, which has been the devil leadership, he has blessed us with the keys to their wicked plots. Now we're exposing their wicked plots. They had the power to tell you the truth, give it to you right in your eyes, and deny the power of your vision to see it. Give you the truth right in your eyeballs, and then deaden the power of your sight to see that truth. The Bible tells you, make no images of God. Say, make no engraven images of God. Form nothing as an image of God. That's what the Bible tells you. But you go to your church and you pray to God in his son Jesus, and there he is as a white man on a cross. And you give your money, I don't know how much it is, and you light up candles in your Catholic church, and you pray to saints who are also in the image of earthly things. And God says in the Bible, make no image. That was one of the commands, but one of the basic commandments of God, that you make no image of him. Now this world has tricked the people and gotten them to accept an image, exalted, lifted up high. Here is the body of Christ. Do you accept God's son Jesus? I have to think about it. You better wake up fast or be damned. Allahu Akbar. Knowing that God has said, make no image of God. An image was made and given to the people. An image worse than a stone or a piece of wood or fire. If we were bowing down in the church before a bowl of fire, like many of the ancient people used to do, and saw God in the image of a flame, it would be less destructive in our lives than the image that the world is bowing down to now. Why? A flame, I can identify with a flame. just as you can identify with the flame. You get no more perish from identifying with a flame than I. But if you're a Caucasian and you bow down to a Caucasian image of God, and I am Belalian and I bow down to that same image of God, you get more encouragement because you look like that image. I don't get the same encouragement when I look at you. If I don't get jealous, I become fearful of you. I say, this man, he looks like God. There was a slave by the name of Julia. She said of the cruel Caucasian slave master, she said they look like God in the face, but act like the devils in their heart. Now listen to what this slave said. This is in a book written by a German, I think. It was published here in America, a book on slavery. I can't recall the title of the book, but we can get it if you demand it. We can look it up. In this book, the author, he's reporting what this slave woman said. She said, these cruel people, Caucasian slave masters, she said, they look like God in the face, but act like the devils in their heart. That woman was speaking from a truth that was speaking quietly in her consciousness. I don't believe she understood what she was saying. But she was speaking from a truth. And that truth is this, that when we look at Jesus to reach God, we can't see beyond Jesus to see God. Who have seen God? Nobody. Who have seen Jesus? Everybody. Because they have made a Caucasian image of Jesus for all of us to see. When Christians get in trouble, especially those who bought the concept wholly, just in its total package, when they get in trouble, who do they call on? Do they say God the Father? They say, oh, Lordy Jesus. Oh, Lordy Jesus. I used to hear old folks in my neighborhood singing in their home, like a pass by their home, and hear them singing, Jesus, my Savior Jesus, my Lord Jesus, my Deliverer Jesus. What was the image of that Jesus? A yellow hair, blue eyes, frail body, Caucasian on a cross. Now that we have preached so hard against racism, they have stopped making so many blue eyes, blonde-haired Jesuses. They are making them now so they look more Jewish. Dark hair and brown eyes. But you among him, you right here in this audience, you will bear me witness that you used to see blue-eyed Jesus and a yellow-haired Jesus, blonde-haired Jesus on the cross. They are not so popular now, but they used to be very popular. Why did they put that Jesus in a pure Caucasian? Why did they want him to look as far from Belalian as they possibly could make it? So that you would see God in them. Some stupid Belalian. Think his name is Rustin. You know this man? Civil rights leader. Yeah, that's his name. What's his name again? Bayard Rustin. That's his name. He's preaching support for the Jews. He's telling the world that Jews are the age-long fighters for freedom and human dignity. He's preaching harder for the Jews than he's preaching for Christ. The man has gone crazy. He always had a problem, but now he's gone stark raving mad. Trying to satisfy the people who's paying his bills. Pitiful. He says that the Arabs have not been forced for liberation. the Jews have been the force for liberation. Now that the Arabs have come into dollar power and are in a position to help, to support the propagation of Islam in many places of the world, the enemies of the truth are coming out and trying to get all the help they can to blot out, to darken the bright image of Islam. They can't attack it directly. They don't attack the Holy Quran. They don't attack the life of Prophet Muhammad. They attack the Arab people. And they attack them in an ugly, deceitful, shameless way. Blow crimes and wrongdoing up way out of proportion. Charge the Arabs with having a part in the enslavement of our forefathers. Charge them in a way to put a whole blame on the Arabs. And you have been so programmed to not to think for yourself at all, that you buy their lies. And you go around, they don't have to do nothing but say it, and you just buy it right away. Somebody say, well, come to Islam. I ain't going to Islam. They enslaved us. You knew the Christians enslaved you. You haven't left the church. Didn't nobody have to tell you the Christians enslaved you. You know Christians enslaved you. You know Caucasian Christians left Europe and went to Africa, so-called Africa, and brought your people back in ships packed so close together they were jammed like sardines in a can. Had to defecate in urine on each other and on themselves. Many of them died in this horrible condition. Came to America and was turned into workhorses and work mules and whatnot, were beat for not submitting their intelligence to the level of a work animal, and even lynched for not doing so. And then brought into Christianity by the same government, Christian government, by the same Christian people that enslaved them and destroyed them as human beings. Then they were brought into Christianity. You know this. Nobody has to tell you that. You know it. But you haven't left the church. And you see a Caucasian image of God on the walls of the churches. You don't say that image look like the people that enslaved us. You don't say that image look like the people that brought us on the ships and put us in bondage here in America. You may say, well, there were some good Christians. You don't ask, are there some good Arabs? You blame all the Arabs. You condemn all the Arabs for what they said some Arabs did. How come you don't blame all the white Christians for what white Christians did? Because you are a damn program slave still. Bible and throw out Christ, Christianity, for what some whites did against my forefathers and against me. I would look into it and see its worth. And if it has worth and if it's good for my life, if it's better than anything else I can find, believe me, I will accept the Bible and live by the Bible. I will accept Christ as they present him and obey that Christ and follow that Christ as the Son of God that leads me to God. If I examined it and found that it was strong enough to support my life. But I have examined the Bible for myself. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he attacked the Bible. He condemned it as something that wasn't worth a while as a guidance for people. But I didn't go just on what he told me. When I came into my manhood and learned to think and read and weigh things for myself, I made a self-study of the Bible. And I came to the conclusion that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't know half of the poison and the lethal poison that exists and the trigger to blow people's brains out that exists in that Bible. I came to the conclusion that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad just had a small knowledge of the power of that Bible to blow up civilization and corrupt the whole life of the world. And I put it down as a guidance, and I picked it up as a weapon to use to bring people back into truth. Hold on. I looked at Jesus, the image that they give us of God in Jesus. I looked at it, and I found it more destructive, more detrimental to my life and my well-being than the Honorable Elijah Muhammad ever imagined. If he imagined it, he didn't say it. That image never disturbed my father like it disturbs me. The Bible never disturbed my father like it disturbs me. Because God has blessed me to see more of the devil's hand in the Bible and in the image that they give us of God than he blessed my father with. I didn't follow him against Christianity. I didn't follow him against this divine Caucasian image of divinity, of divine. I followed my good senses. I used the tools that he had given me. I used knowledge that I picked up from many places and from many people. I used all of it, and God was guiding me. I don't care what you think. You don't have to like me. Hold up. Don't clap. It takes time. You don't have to like me. You don't have to respect me. That means nothing to me. I'm fighting for God, and I'm fighting for truth. I'm fighting for God. I'm fighting for truth. And believe me, I'm not doing it because I love you. I'm doing it because I love God and I love truth. That's why I'm doing it. Whether you love me or not, baby, you can forget about it. I know how you think with your crazy mind. Every time a man say God give him some guidance, oh, he's trying to make himself a holy angel or a prophet or something. If God can guide the earth into existence, into form, into orbit, then guide life into form, into existence, and into form, out of the earth, and then guide my own essence into existence and into form, and guide my life rationally and morally. Do you think that same God is going to stop guiding? Or you are saying you're a prophet then, a messenger of God? No, I'm a human being. And God still loves human beings. If a human being will give himself to God, God will still guide human beings. I don't have to be a messenger. I don't have to be an angel, a prophet, or a messenger. A human being earns me a response from God. A human being, just a plain, ordinary human being. Not one who never told a lie. Not one who never committed fornication. Not one who never stole a penny or a piece of bread. A sinful human being. If he turns his heart completely to God, he is dignified and valuable enough for God to give him a response from himself. God himself will guide you. When the world comes under darkness, who will guide us if it's not God? If the church leadership becomes sightless, blind, who's going to guide us? If the Jewish leadership becomes negligent and blind and corrupt, who's going to guide us? If the Muslim leadership becomes negligent, blind, and corrupt, who's going to guide the Muslim world? God, Almighty God, who guided the people from the beginning, is all he's ready to guide anybody who's ready to give himself completely to his guidance. But God doesn't have to guide people anymore. God has sent his prophets to God. And people have stood between us and his prophets so that we can't reach his prophets and get that guidance. Well, there is God's scripture. People have stood between us and God's scripture, so we can't get to that scripture. They gave us Holy Qurans in English that were a very distorted and weak form of the message that is given in the Arabic. Translation by Caucasians, translation by Indians who had to learn the language of the Quran themselves. Most of the devoted Muslims who really appreciate the perfect and pure language of the Holy Quran refused to translate it into English. So what we have gotten was inferior translations. And these inferior translations had not the power to bring us into clear truth. We had them. We were reading them. We didn't just start reading the Holy Quran in 1960. We've been reading the Holy Quran here in America since 1930. You understand what I'm saying? And earlier than that, some people brought the Quran to America. But I remember my father and my mother and the old members of this community, who some of them are still here, telling me of those early days when Mr. Farid Muhammad himself walked around with the Quran in his arms, gave the Quran to my father, and read and preached from that Quran. When Ahmadiyyas did the same thing, when Arabs that immigrated from Arabia, they were in the community, they were reading the Quran. People from the Tabligh community came into America and they read the Quran. They read it in English and they also tried to preach it in Arabic and teach it in Arabic. Nothing has opened the mind of the American people until this leadership came into existence. I'm giving you the plain facts. Whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter with me. I'm here only to serve the will of Almighty God. Nothing brought these people into good mind and into good life until leadership was established here in this place in us. This is the fact. This is the fact. I've been among them. I've been among the Ahmadis. I've been in the Talib circle. The Tabligh circle. I've been in other Muslim cities. I've been with the Muslim Student Association of the United States and Canada, who came late. They came when already there was a big, good impression made, at least for the name Islam, for the name Muhammad, for the name Allah. They came late. And I saw them helpless to bring people to Islam. They would bring Caucasians. And among them you find crazy-minded, over-spiritual, drunken in spiritualism, or just irrational. Some they would convert and they would be sensible and strong. But those would go into their circles. They didn't have the courage. They didn't have the enthusiasm. They didn't have the zeal for preaching this religion that we have. Nothing has come to America and made a strong community with power, enthusiasm, with zeal for delivering the message, for preaching it against all odds. Nothing has done it. But this clear truth, this clear message, this clear ministry that evolved out of symbolism, out of the darkness of symbolism, out of the darkness of mysticism, out of the darkness of Oriental mysticism and symbolism. A clear mind has been born. And God has blessed that clear mind. And that clear mind have led the other members to the clear truth of the Quran, to the clear message in Prophet Muhammad's life. the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. You have come to it by the hundreds, by the thousands. And I hear weak talk, always trying to talk down what has happened here in America, in this community. People from without and people from within. If I was Satan himself and saw what has happened here in this community, say, do you mean to tell me those people who just 50 years ago or just 100 years ago were worked like dumb animals and were told that they were not even human on a level with other human beings and wasn't given anything to lead them except what they inherited from their slave master's environment? Do you mean to tell me that there is now a leadership among them, those people, that is a powerful challenge to the church leadership, to the synagogue leadership, to every leadership in the land, and that they are now leading themselves independently and offering leadership to others, that they have now come through black superiority and black supremacy after they were reduced to nothing by white supremacy? And now just in less than 2 years or so, they have stood up now as universal human beings, fighting against black supremacy and fighting against white supremacy. If I was Satan himself, I would take my hat off and my crown off to that black man. Dear beloved people, when great people stand up, giving themselves 100% to Almighty God, don't expect a lot of spectators to say, it didn't happen in the past, it's not going to happen today. You're going to have to stand up for your own man, for your own leadership, and do this. Ain't nobody else going to do it. Look how long we've been fighting the evil that take us down and take the society down. How many leaders from the society has come in here and given this the credit that it due? They haven't come in here and given this the credit that it is due. They're afraid to show too much support for this, because they recognize this as a clean, wholesome, powerful movement for truth and God alone. And they want to keep something that they have, that they are living off of. That's not God. That's not truth. So they can't give themselves completely to this. If it's not racism, it's materialism. If it's not that, it's moral weakness. There is something that they still want to hold on to, that they can't give up. So don't expect the world to join you. You have to pull the world behind you. You understand? The world is not going to join a pure and righteous thing. That pure and righteous thing has to pull the world up out of its corruption and filth. It takes a lot of strength to follow what I'm asking you to follow. I'm not asking you to be a Muslim like the Muslim in Egypt. I'm not asking you to be a Muslim like the Muslim in Arabia. I'm not asking you to be a Muslim like the Muslim in Pakistan. I'm asking you to be a Muslim like Prophet Muhammad. That's what I'm asking you to do. And that's too much to ask most people. But I guarantee you, you have the capacity, you have the spiritual power, you have the spiritual hunger in you, you have the moral hunger in you, you have the hunger for a decent society in you that's strong enough as a power to move you and bring you behind this truth. It's too much to ask of others, but it's not too much to ask of you. I guarantee you that. If you are wise, you will thank Allah for blessing you with the leadership that you have. I'm not saying thank Allah for me so I will live as a great person among you. No, indeed. Thank Allah for me so that you will grow into a great person. There is no way for your mind to grow big if you ignore what has happened right here in America in my own life. Do you think God will bless you to grow to be a great Muslim and you ignore what has happened into my life? I'm a descendant of slave parents. I'm a descendant of Christian parents. I'm a descendant of a black Muslim who taught me black supremacy and materialism and taught me to believe that God is flesh and blood and never was anything else. I'm a descendant of a leader like that who told me that his master, Farad Muhammad, and him was the ones that were going to lead this world. And that if I didn't give myself to Master Farad and him, I would be destroyed. And just in a few years, I have been given his community. And I have brought his community further along a path to real religion and to real truth than any Christian has to come, than any Jew has to come. And I'm not preaching blackness to you. I'm not telling you to place importance on black skin. But I am preaching to you that you have a greater dignity now to identify in than black skin. You have the richness of a spirit for righteousness. You have the richness of a spirit for obedience to God. You have the richness of a spirit to establish truth and decent society. You have spiritual excellence. You have spiritual richness. You have moral capacity for moral superiority. Not that you are morally superior, but you have a moral capacity for moral superiority. You might say what I'm saying is un-Islamic. I am not. Islam came to a people who were deepest in darkness. The pagan Arabs, the idolatrous Arabs. Islam came to a people who were deepest in ignorance of culture, high culture, civilization. But it was in those people who had a great void of spiritual worth and moral worth that God chose to raise up Muhammad among. And Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he began to pour God water of rich spirituality, of rich morality, of rich intellectualism. He began to pour that into that deep void. And when that deep void was filled up, those people had more worth, had more wealth, had more water of moral strength, of spiritual strength, of rational purity than all the people on earth at that time. Why? Why did they have more? Because their void was deeper. Their container was empty. They had more room for what God had to offer them. And the same thing has happened in America. God has chosen a people whose void is deeper than the void of any other people, whose container was more empty than the container of any other people. And he's poured his truth into me and you, and we are now the biggest people on this earth. I'm compelled to tell you this. It is not God's intention to raise us up here and give us a leadership from somewhere else. God's intention is to raise us up here so that the whole world can be inspired and raised up by this life. Don't you know there is no sort that of a religious revival? There is no sort of human and social reform more promising than this one right here in America? If the African would rise up and preach deliverance for the world, preach against white supremacy, preach against black supremacy, preach against enslavement, preach against moral degeneration, he could not be as effective as me, because I'm born under the joint of history, America. I'm born under the mountain, the Mount Everest, of spiritual, moral, and intellectual darkness. I'm born in the place where slavery have never deteriorated to the depth that it deteriorated here in this country. There have never been any slaves reduced to inferiority to the depth that we was reduced in this country. I stand in the best spot. I stand in the best spot. I stand in the spot that promises more, because it is the spot where the greatest challenge to truth has been and still is. If Almighty God can lift us up here under the feet of the giant, in the clutches of the giant, from the bottom of the society, from the bottom of the society, and then lift us up as a voice to command respect from the giant, all the other shorties should take their hats off and say, praise be to Allah.